This morning, we're going to talk about the burden of uncertainty. The burden of uncertainty. You know, our series is called Burdened But Not Broken, and we're talking about David and how throughout his life, God definitely blessed him. But there were many burdens that David had to carry or he had to deal with. And I believe that God gave him the strength and the power to carry those and to get through those. And this morning, we're going to talk about the burden of uncertainty. I think most would agree with me when I say we live in an uncertain world. We live in a world that is constantly changing. Let's just go back about 10 years. Think of the political change that has taken place over the last 10 years. We have new world leaders, not only in our country, but also in Russia and throughout Europe, and of course throughout the Middle East, we have a whole bunch of new leaders. Just in a 10-year period, things have changed in our world. I can guarantee you this, 10 years from now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I believe it's going to be different than what it is today. What direction our world goes, I don't know. But we're going to have new leaders 10 years from now, I'm sure, in some of these countries and some of these nations. And there are going to be some decisions that will be made. And for the most part, they're out of our hands. We just have to deal with some of it sometimes. How about national change? You know, we have new laws every year. And some are probably good. In my own opinion, I think most are just binding for the most part. New laws are coming out all the time. You have to vote on new leaders. How about personal change? Over the past 10 years, some of you may have a new career now. Or you're in a new place. Maybe a new position at work or even a new place altogether that God has allowed you to go to. How about people? You know, people often change. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, people change. You know, there are times where we have people in our life that 10 years ago, they may not be in your life anymore for just various reasons. People change. You know, change is not always bad. I want to clarify that. Change is not always bad. I like the modern conveniences we have. I thank the Lord for the lights we have this morning. Air condition and heating, even though we don't have to use it today, we have a beautiful day outside. But it's a blessing to have that. It's a blessing to have indoor plumbing. It's a blessing to have all the modern conveniences that we have. So change is not always bad, but change can be troubling. Is the problem. Change can be troubling, and it can produce fear, it can produce anxiety, it can cause a lack of faith, which will lead to a life that struggles from day to day. That's the problem with uncertainty. When you're not sure of where things are going or what you're going to be doing, then you can lose faith, and you can struggle in life. David was no different. He lived in a different time. They had different worldly possessions, of course. He didn't have a smartphone or a tablet or anything like that. But you take all those away, and we find that our life is real similar to David's life. Living in an uncertain world, wondering what's going to happen next. You know, sometimes I think, and this is just my thought, I think that we believe that the Old Testament men and women knew everything, and they had everything. When you read the Bible, you do realize they didn't have the knowledge. We probably have more spiritual knowledge as far as what God has given to us because we have the entire word than they did. They had to live by faith day by day, and they had to walk with God. So today we're going to see how David dealt with a burden of uncertainty. Now that's a burden that we all have to carry at times. And we're going to look here at 2 Samuel chapter 2. And I'm going to read just one verse. 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said, Unto Hebron." Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've given to us. And as we look at this verse and we consider David's life and his conduct up to this point, I pray that you'll open up our heart to your word. Help us to not only see it, hear it, but also understand it and apply it to our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have three considerations from this verse. I want to talk about David's predicament because this verse pretty much opens up right after. It just flows. It's a part of David's life, and so we'll talk about his predicament. We're going to see David's patience, and then we're going to talk about his prayer. You know, prayer is just talking to God, and we're going to talk about David and his prayer to God. So let's look at his predicament first. We have promises and problems. Now, we can relate to both those, I think. Let's start with promises. What did David know about God? Well, he knew this. I can tell you this. He knew that God was there. He knew God had bless the nation. You know, David knew about the creation. David knew about the law. David had the five books, the first five books of the Old Testament. As believed, he probably had some of the history, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and so forth. So he had an understanding of God and who God was and how God had blessed. That means he also had some promises from God, the promises found in God's Word. Now, David did not have the complete Word of God as we do. We should praise the Lord every day that we have His complete Word. Genesis to Revelation. Not only do we know what has happened in the past, but we know what God has done for us on the cross. We also know what God is going to do for us in the future. And we have a little bit of an understanding of the future as far as Revelation is concerned. David didn't have those. But David did have enough, I believe, to know that God had promised to send a Savior. That's found in Genesis 3:15. God promised that right away after Adam and Eve sinned, that there would be one to come to bruise the head of the serpent, which refers to the devil. You see, the Messiah was promised. And throughout the Old Testament, we find that in the first five books, we find the promise of Jesus Christ. We find the promise of a Messiah. So David knew that there was a Messiah to come. He also knew, I think, that the world needed a Savior. It doesn't take long to live in this world of sin to know that we need help. Anyone who doesn't believe that, I think, is either ignoring the facts or they just don't want to admit that they need help in this world. We live in an uncertain world, so we need help to get through it. So it's evident, I think, from the Psalms of David that he was looking for a Messiah. He was expecting Christ to come. But David also had a personal promise found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and that was to be the king of Israel. Now, I'm not going to turn over there for time's sake this morning, but that chapter covers Samuel going to Bethlehem, finding the sons of Jesse. David wasn't there. They finally called David in, and there he was anointed to be the king of Israel. Now, that was a promise from God. Samuel was sent with that message for that purpose only to Bethlehem to anoint David as the king of Israel. Well, David didn't take the throne immediately. He had to wait until God would work on his behalf. But that was a promise that David had been given. Now, I believe David at this point, go back to 2 Samuel chapter 2, at this point, David probably realized that the time was near for him to be the king of Israel. Because Saul, the current king, had been killed in battle. 1 Samuel 31 and 2 Samuel chapter 1 talk about that. Saul had been slain in battle. Saul's son Jonathan had also died in that same battle with the Philistines. So now the nation is without a king. They're also without the heir, Jonathan. And I believe David probably understood that, hey, the time has come or it's near for me to be king of Israel. But he didn't know when or how the Lord would work. You know, life's like that. We have some promises from God, but we may not know how God is going to work to carry those out. Let me give you a thought on that. How about Philippians 4:19? We know that God's going to supply all our need. But sometimes we may wonder how he's going to supply that need or when. Sometimes the Lord may work through mysterious ways. Sometimes he may wait to the last minute to supply, but the Lord had promised to care for us and to take care of us. You see, God promised David that he would be king. And God's promises will always be fulfilled. That's what I want to encourage you with this morning. God's promises will always be fulfilled. It says in Psalm 33, verse 4, this was David writing. He said, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. All that he says will come true someday." Think about that. All that God says will come true someday. You know, we can promise, and sometimes we break our promise. Sometimes we do it on purpose. You know, we may not want to admit it. We make a promise, and, oh, man, I don't feel like getting up and going and doing that today. I'll just call in, or I'll say this. And then sometimes we can promise, and guess what? We can't keep it because of a certain situation. Maybe you make an appointment to be at the doctor's office or make a meeting, and on your way you get a flat tire or an accident or something happens and you just can't make it, and you got to call in and say, you know, I'm sorry. I know I gave you my word, but I just can't get there. I didn't mean to. You know, that's part of living in this world, an uncertain world. We can give our word, but we can't always keep it. God is not like that. He's the creator of this world. He's in control. And when he gives his word, we can count on his word. And that's what David had. He had a promise from God. Now, here's what David also had. Here's the second part of this point. Problems. Problems. First one is time. You know, you think, well, how can time be a problem? Well, when you're waiting on something, it can be a problem. I know growing up, I enjoyed my birthday. Now I don't enjoy birthdays as much as I used to. When I was younger, I wanted to get older. Now it's the other way around, starting to go that other direction. You know, the closer it got, the more excited I became. Time. Think of David. It had been over 10 years, some believe 12 or 13 years, since this promise had been given. And during that time, David had been chased from the palace. He lived in the hills. His life had been threatened. At one point, he was certain he was going to die, and he went into the land of the Philistines. Time. If we're not careful, we can lose faith, not saving faith, just trust in God because we believe God's not going to answer. Or we can begin to think, well, what have I done? How come this answer isn't here yet? This morning, I want to encourage you to remember that God is not bound by time like we are. We have 24 hours in a day. I don't know about you, but I can't get another hour. That's it. Just 24 hours of each of us. That's all we have. We have a limited life. I don't know how long God is going to keep us here on earth, but I can tell you this, it's not going to be forever. At some point, our life will end. So sometimes we begin to look at time and say, well, I got to get this done now. I got to hurry up. And here's the problem. It may be something that God says, no, you don't. I want you to wait a little bit. I have a plan. I have a purpose. And so that's when we need to wait on the Lord. See, that's one of the problems I think that David ran into. And this morning, it's a problem that we can also face as well. I think here in our country, I thank the Lord. I talked about modern conveniences. I thank the Lord for some of the conveniences we have. But I think we're also spoiled in our country. We're spoiled in many ways, but here's the way I want to talk about it. We're spoiled because we have so much in just a matter of minutes. Some of you have a phone. You can find out anything. I ask you a question. You just hop on your phone and you can find the answer within seconds. We have access to so much information. We have ability to drive down and get something to eat within 2 or 3 minutes. I don't know if that's good or not, but we can fast foods there. You know, we don't have to wait for a lot of things, do we? If we're honest, we don't have to wait for a lot. So when the time comes for us to wait, that can be a struggle sometimes. You know, we have to understand that just because we don't wait in our society doesn't mean that God will treat us that way. You know, you may be praying for something, direction, guidance, wisdom, whatever it may be, and you may not have had the answer yet. Well, don't give up on God. Just wait. God is planning an answer, and he has a purpose. So David here had to wait. Here's the other one when you talk about problems. How about trials from living in a world of sin? You know, sometimes we're going to have trials in this world just because we live in this world. You know, believers get flat tires too. Trust me, I've had to change a few flat tires. You know, we have problems in this world just from living in a world of sin. David had trials from living in a world of sin. The one I think of right away is, how about Saul, the king, his father-in-law, who turned against him? David couldn't control that. You know, sometimes I think it's difficult. We can't control the actions of others. Someone can say whatever they want. They can do whatever they want sometimes. And we just got to deal with it, living in an uncertain world. You see, Saul became a bitter enemy of David, and he looked to destroy David. And because of this, life became difficult for David, forced to live on the run. Here's another one. How about troubles due to David's poor decisions? Now, we don't like to think about that. We always make right decisions. Let's think about David for a minute. The Bible tells us at the end of 1 Samuel that he struggled with his faith. And he went into the land of the Philistines. And he almost went to battle against the Israelites. He nearly went to battle, put himself in a bad position. God blessed him and got him out of that. But afterwards, you know, beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 2, David's not living in Israel right now. That's why he's asking God for direction. He's still in the land of the Philistines, where he shouldn't be. Have you ever found yourself where you shouldn't be? Sometimes it's by accident. You take a wrong turn. If you take the wrong turn down a one way, you find yourself where you shouldn't be. Hurry up looking for a turnoff to try getting where you should be. David found himself in a place where he shouldn't be. Now, for David, it was because of his own poor decision. He shouldn't have went there, but there he was. Now he's going back to God, asking God for direction. God, help me get back on the right track where I should be. And so we find David in Israel and in the land of the Philistines, and basically found himself into some trouble. To David's credit, though, And we need to notice this. To David's credit, he didn't blame other people for this problem. He accepted it and moved on. When it comes to making mistakes, the best thing is not don't blame others. Own them. Seek God's forgiveness and make things right. And live for the Lord. Here we find David placing blame on nobody. Instead, he's seeking God's direction, trying to get right with the Lord. But you know what? The result of this is, let me give you a thought on this. And just think about this for a minute. Here he is in the land of the Philistines. He's promised to be the next king of Israel. Could you imagine what some of the people in Israel are thinking? He's our next king. He's living over there. He almost went to battle against us. You see, David's poor decision hurt himself later when he was looking for God's direction. And so David found himself at a point of uncertainty. That's his predicament. Here he is. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He knows he's promised to be king, but he's a king without a throne. He had the promises, but no sign of a fulfillment. And he's wondering where God is going to lead him. Sometimes we can have points like that in our life. We know the promises that God has given to us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. He'll provide for our needs. He'll guide and direct. But as we're sitting in this world of sin, you begin to say, well, God, where are you going to take me? How are you going to get me through this? Why did you allow this into my life? Let's see what David did. We find in 2 Samuel 2, it says, And it came to pass after this, that's what we talked about, his predicament, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. The second thought I'll give you this morning is patience. Patience. When you find yourself in a situation that is uncertain as far as seeking the Lord and walking with God, I think it's wise to slow down and wait on the Lord. And so we're going to talk about David waited, and then David was willing to follow God. So David waited on the Lord. Here's some things he did not do. You know, it's good to point out what he didn't do. He refused to do what he thought was best. You see, David could have had his own opinion in the matter. You know, sometimes we have opinions, and we get stubborn in our opinions, and we think, that's just the way it's got to be. I'm going to go forward. David could have done that. David could have said, you know, I'm going to be the king of Israel. They're just going to have to accept this. I'm going to go in and make sure they know who I am. Well, he didn't do that. He also refused to do what he desired. Without a doubt, I'm sure he wanted to be the king. Later, we find him being an excellent king. I'm sure he wanted to do the work that God had for him. I'm sure he wanted to assume the throne, and he wanted to lead the nation. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can run ahead of God and get ourselves into trouble. You know, pastors have done that. Missionaries have done that. They've been called by God to go out, and they're excited. They know what God has called them to do. They're ready to go, but you know what? They don't wait on the Lord, and they just run out and go and maybe take a church or go a certain direction. And then next thing you know, they regret not waiting on the Lord. Well, David didn't do that. To his credit, he knew that he was called to be king. He knew that was what he was meant to do. But he didn't let his personal desires determine his conduct in life. Let that be a lesson for each of us here this morning. Don't let your personal desires determine your life. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, what's that mean? Well, basically, is don't make all your decisions based upon what you want. You know, there may be times in your life you may look at something and say, you know, I want that, but I don't need it right now. I want that, but guess what? I don't think it's time. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's just not time. I read one person said, talking about maturity. Maturity, he said, is when you have the ability to buy something, but you choose not to. Being willing to wait and understanding that, hey, just because I want it doesn't mean I need to go out and have it or to do it. David here, I think, made a good decision. He refused to do what he wanted. You know, a lot of poor decisions are often the result of selfishness. And I can attest to that myself. My poor decisions are usually because I was just selfish. I wanted it. I thought I needed it. I just went out and went after it and did it. Another thing we find with David is he refused to move without God's direction. This is important here. Because David would have to wait on God. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't force himself upon the people. He didn't say, they're going to have to accept me. I'm the king. Instead, he placed his trust in the Lord and he waited till God moved and directed. And then God blessed. And you may say, well, Pastor, how can I do that? We can do that today. You know, if we're not careful, we can want something and then we can pray for it. And as we're praying for it, we're already going. See, that's not seeking direction. That's just seeking approval. And I think as believers, a lot of times, that's what we do. We seek approval. We have the plan made out. We know exactly what we want to do. And then we want God just to approve it. You know, put his stamp of approval upon it and send it back and say, good idea. David didn't do that. And as believers, we should not do that either. When we seek God's direction, we should say, God, here it is. Lay it out and just say, what do you want me to do? I want to do this. Now, there's nothing wrong with having wants and desires. You may say, God, I want to do this, but is this what you want me to do? I would like to go here. I want to go down this career path or take this job or move here. Is this what you want me to do? And then just wait for the Lord to direct and to guide. You see, David refused to move without God's direction, placed his trust in the Lord. And I believe that's why he was blessed. Also, so he waited. Second, he was willing. Think about this for a minute. When you wait upon God, that means you have submitted your will to God's will. And that's a simple thought, but I tell you, that's difficult sometimes to say your will, not mine, God, your direction, not mine. Patience requires submission to God. In other words, you say, God, your way and in your time. By the way, patience is a choice, I think. Yeah, we need to learn patience, but it's a choice we make. We have to sit and wait. That's why I think it's difficult to wait, because we have to choose to wait. What was it? In Romans 6:13, Paul said, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. That's in Romans 6, verse 13. You know what we're to do? We're to yield our life unto God. That's what it is. That's submission. Patience requires submission. God, here I am. Take me and use me for your glory and your honor. Not just one day. Anybody can submit for a day. But every day. You see, anyone go to church on Sunday morning. But how about living for God on Monday morning? When that alarm clock goes off. Or that person cuts you off on the way to work. Submission to God at all times. Your will, God, not mine. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the time submitting to God. You know, when you look at the life of David, here's one thing that stands out. It always stood out to me. David was an aggressive man. What I mean by that is David was in the middle of everything. David was, Bible tells us, he was the only one willing to face Goliath. We had a whole nation here. And some of these men were brave men. David was the only one willing to go out. David was an aggressive man. We find later that David was a conqueror. History puts him on par with any of the great conquerors that had ever lived. He was a soldier, a warrior, aggressive. I imagine it was difficult for David to wait. You know, some may say, well, I just can't wait. Yes, you can. You just have to. You just got to choose to. David could have made an excuse. He was an aggressive man as far as the way he lived, but God, in his, evidently God, was important to him. And David, in this case, was willing to wait upon the Lord. You know, we just need to be willing to follow the Lord. Also, patience requires contentment. There's that word, contentment. In other words, being satisfied with what God has given or allowed in your life. We can become discontent over many things. In your career, you can become discontent. Well, how come I don't have that position? I've earned it. I deserve it. Well, maybe so. But maybe God just doesn't want you to have it. How come I can't live over there? Why did God move us over here? You know, we can become discontent over so many things. Let's just be content with where God has placed us. You see, whatever God chooses for us is best. And we should accept that and be willing to be content with the Lord's direction. It was Paul who said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now he said he learned to be content. You know, it's a learning process. We've got to learn to be content with God's direction. So patience requires contentment. It also requires some faith that we trust that God is leading, that God knows what's best for our life, that God is not leading us in a bad direction, but he's taking us the direction that is best for us. You know, David made a good decision here. He waited on God. You know, this morning, there may be times in your life where God wants you to wait on him. And I encourage you to be faithful while you're waiting. Don't become discouraged. Don't quit. Don't think God is not going to work through you, because he is. He's just working through you in a different way. and planning his purpose for your life. So be willing to wait on the Lord. Here's the third one, and that's David's prayer. Notice it says, and it came to pass after this. Now this is where we're going to focus on this verse, that David inquired of the Lord. So he waited. He didn't just rush off and do what he wanted. He said, inquire to the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? So David looked to the Lord. That's the first item I'm going to tell you. Two things here. He looked to the Lord, and he did not limit God in his prayer. First, he looked to the Lord. This is where we can make some mistakes. We get ourselves in a situation that's uncertain. We wait for a period of time. There's no answer. Or we don't see an answer. Though God may be answering, we just don't see it. Now keep in mind, we're limited in our knowledge. So God may be answering, we just don't know it. You know, I think when we get to heaven, I wonder. Haven't been there, but I wonder when we get to heaven if the Lord is going to show us how many times he worked on our behalf and we didn't even know. A difficulty coming our way, we didn't even see it because we don't know what's happening in the future. And God works to protect us or to get us through that trouble and trial. You see, David waited on the Lord and then he looked to the Lord. You know, it's tempting. And sometimes it's easy to look to sources other than God for help. That's what I want to warn you with this morning. It's easy when we get into a situation where it's uncertain, we're not sure, some doubts have filled our heart and our mind. It's easy to look outside and look to other sources than God for answers. And I want to warn you with this. Here's the first one. It's easy to look at self. And that's become popular today. I think it's part of our New Age movement, spiritual movement. Look within and find the answers. When you look within and you're honest, you're going to find sin is what you're going to find. Be careful of looking to self to find the answers. Here's one problem. We are limited in our knowledge. Even the brightest person out there. Now we got some bright people here this morning. I know we've got some intelligent people here. Even the most intelligent are unable to tell us for sure what's going to happen, even in the next 5 minutes. Nobody knows the future. Some can know the past, they can study history, but nobody knows the future. See, our knowledge is limited. And that's why we got to be careful of trusting in self. You know, what may look like a good decision today, a week from now can say, wow, I wish I'd have known that. Or 5 years from now can say, wow, why did I go that direction? You know, some have chosen careers that they went a certain way, and guess what? All of a sudden they don't have a job. They just don't know what's going down the road, what's going to happen. So we're limited in our knowledge. Also, we're limited in our wisdom. Now, knowledge and wisdom are different. I used to think they were the same. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is the ability to use or correctly apply that information. We're limited in our wisdom. See, even if we have all the knowledge, doesn't mean we can make a right decision, does it? I've been there. I thought I had it all figured out and had all the answers. Next thing you know, I said, whoops. That was a poor decision. I shouldn't have said that or shouldn't have done that. That's why we get ourselves into trouble. Because we don't have all the wisdom. We need God's wisdom. We need God's knowledge so that way we can make a correct decision. Here's the second one. Well, some won't look at self, but they'll start to look at others. Now, there's nothing wrong with good advice. Okay, there's nothing wrong with seeking someone's opinion on a matter or seeking advice. But we must remember a couple things. First, it's just their advice. Guess what? They have no more knowledge what's going to happen 5 minutes from now than you do. Also, never accept advice that contradicts God's word. And there's a lot of that today. And some pass it off as Christian counseling, Christian encouragement. Some are behind pulpits preaching it and teaching it. Never accept advice that contradicts God's word. Study the word. Read the word. If it goes against what God is saying, then don't follow after it. Follow God's word. You see, sometimes we can be misled by accident. You know, someone may not mean to cause you to make a poor decision. It can just be by accident. They can just say, give you some advice and you follow it. And they can later say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't know. I didn't mean to. And then there are times where someone can do it on purpose. You know, there are people in this world that are leading away from God and his word, and they're doing it purposely. Be careful of that. Stick to the word of God and follow what God's word has to say. Here's another one. How about spiritual direction? I want to give you this here. The Bible tells us that we are to pray to God alone in the name of Jesus Christ. We're not to pray to others. We're not to pray to people. We're not to pray to idols. They can't hear our prayers and answer our prayers. We're to pray to God alone in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read some verses to you. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or how about Colossians 3:17? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So we're to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And why is that? It's because He is the one standing before God on our behalf. He's the one that has provided salvation. He's the one that the Bible calls our great high priest. He's the one the Bible says is our mediator, referring to a lawyer, someone standing on our behalf before God the Father. That's why we are to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you pray in another name, or if you choose to pray in no name at all, then your prayers are just going to go out there. The only ones that will hear it be people in the room, and that would be about it. Because the Bible tells us we're to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We're not to pray to others. Nobody can stand before God for you except Jesus Christ. Also, we're not to clear our minds for spiritual direction. That's a new one coming in today. Be careful of that too. Yes, we're to focus on God and talk to God, but don't just empty out your mind. We don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Actually, what we find in the Bible is men and women talking to God, taking their concerns to Him, and seeking the Lord's direction. And that's what David did. He looked to the Lord for direction. This morning, be careful of looking to the Lord as a last resort. You know, that's what we do sometimes. We have a problem. Something comes into our life, we're not sure, we have some doubts, we're uncertain. And so we go about trying to fix that problem ourselves. And then we can't figure it out, so we get advice. And then we do this, or then we do that. And then finally we say, well, maybe God can help me out. How about we flip it around? And a problem comes into your life, go to God first. Now, if you're already doing that, I encourage you to continue. Run to the Lord first. Get on your knees. Ask Him for direction and wisdom and guidance, whatever else is needed concerning your problem, and ask the Lord. And then afterwards, there's nothing wrong with getting some good advice. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure things out. I think we should. But go to the Lord first. Trust in the Lord and seek the Lord's direction. That's what David did. I think we find that obviously he wanted God's will in his life. You know, that's the first thing that I think that tells us. You know, when we seek God first, that means we want His will. Not our will, we want God's. Also, it tells us that we understand God has a plan and that He's able to carry out that plan in our life, and we're trusting Him. So we find that David here looked to the Lord. Secondly, notice David did not limit the Lord. Notice chapter 2, verse 1 says, after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Now, he mentioned Judah, probably because he's in the southern part of Israel. He's just outside the borders, down there in the land of the Philistines. He probably mentioned Judah because Judah was just across the street, so to speak. It was right there. And Judah was his hometown. That's where he was from. That's where he had many friends, many allies, and he probably thought for sure that God was directing him to Judah. But notice, David didn't limit God to the certain neighborhood and house that he wanted. He didn't say, God, do you want me to go to this certain place? He said, God, where do you want me to go in Judah? Now think about that. He was willing to go wherever God wanted. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can limit God in our prayers. God, will you please help me in this direction? And then you give him a list of the only places you'll go. That's not seeking God's direction. Once again, that's seeking God's approval. We need to unlimit God. Just allow Him to take us where He wants us. And that's what David did. He asked him, are there any cities, any one of them that you want me to go to? Just let me know. And so, like David, we must be willing to seek the Lord and yield to His direction. We must have a ready heart, ready to go wherever God would lead us. Now, as far as the direction, notice it says here, and the Lord said unto him, go up. That's it. You know, sometimes answered prayers can be that simple. We expect a big miracle to take place, a shining light, whatever. And all it was well, just go up. Go. Well, then David looked for some specific direction. Okay. And this is here's a good model for prayer, by the way. Open by asking God's direction, and then when He begins to lead one step at a time, continue to ask. We find here his next question was, whether shall I go up? Okay, I can go back into Judah, what city? Where do you want me to go? And the Lord said, unto Hebron. So David looked for some specific direction, and the Bible tells us that God told him to go to Hebron. Let me give you some thoughts on Hebron, because I want you to notice how God worked in his life. You see, David, we find here a man who was uncertain, looking for God's direction. God answered, and here's where David went. Hebron was a city of refuge. It was, according to Joshua 21, it was a city of priests, the oldest city in the land of Judah at the time. It was a metropolis. It was a large city. And this city was strategically based, about 3,000 feet above sea level, located near a large plain. And it was a city where a king could be safe, is what it was. You don't tell me God didn't put him there by accident. God put him exactly where he wanted him. He put him in a city where David could get established in the land. Now remember, keep in mind, David had kind of messed up a little bit. And there were probably men who didn't trust him anymore. Well, God had him go to this established city where he could establish himself as the king of Judah. And there in that city, he would be safe. He would be protected, not only from those that may have wanted to cause trouble within, but from the enemy from the outside. And God put him exactly where he wanted him. God's good that way, by the way. You seek the Lord's will. You seek the Lord's direction. You wait on God. And then you yield unto his direction. You're willing to go wherever he leads. You're going to find yourself exactly where God wants you. And when you find yourself there, you'll be blessed. Now, you still may have some decisions still to make, and everything may not work out well. But first, you're going to know you're where God wants you. And you're going to be encouraged by that. And second, you're going to know that God's going to work through you there because that's where he wants you. You know, the best place to be is wherever God wants you. Even if it is in a trial. You know, many of God's men have went through trials, but that's where God wanted them. And God blessed them through those trials. I think of Daniel in the lion's den. That's where God wanted him. I imagine he got a better sleep that night than the others. It's where God wanted him. You see, it's best to be where God wanted us. And that's where David found himself to be. He found himself in a place where he could rest and God could bless him. You know, this morning, David lived in an uncertain world. But he trusted the Lord and he found God to be good. This morning, we also live in a world of uncertainty. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? And I'm not one of those, what do you call them, doomsday preachers. But I'll tell you this, something could happen today. I'm not saying it will. Obviously, I don't even pretend to prophesy. But you know, something could happen this afternoon that could change our life completely, can change the nation. It's happened in history where one event changed the course of a nation. It's happened in our history, in the history of our country, several times. What I'm saying is we live in a world of uncertainty like David. And lives can be changed in a matter of seconds. Some of you can attest to that. Something has happened in your life that it just changed drastically. The direction you went, how you serve the Lord. You know, I always find it interesting when you read the lives of pastors and missionaries, how it seems like a lot of them have ended up in a place that they didn't plan on being to begin with. They had plans and they were going a certain direction, and then God allowed something in their life that would change their direction. Like David Livingstone wanted to go to China. Next thing you know, he spent his whole life in Africa serving the Lord. You know, God will put us where he wants us. We just need to be faithful to the Lord. You know, uncertainty is a burden that we all have to bear at times. And sometimes it can weigh heavy. I'll remind you what Jesus said. Actually, turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And I want to remind you what Jesus said. In Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Think of our Lord and Savior this morning. That's what he's there for. He came to take our burdens so we could live a life here without the burdens that the world puts upon us. And one of those burdens is uncertainty. You see, we don't have to live in this world filled with doubts and fears. We don't have to be anxious all the time, wondering what's going to take place. Now, we don't know what's going to take place, but we have a Savior who does. And so we should cast our cares upon him. We should let him carry our burdens. and then trust Him and go the direction that He takes us. This morning, believer, if you're saved here this morning, I'm going to give you some encouraging thoughts as we get ready to wrap this up. Take the Lord Jesus Christ up on that promise. Don't carry the burdens yourself. You know, sometimes we can do that. We can get stubborn and carry our burden ourselves, especially the burden of uncertainty. We're not sure what's going to happen, so we fill our life, our heart with doubts and fears and anxieties, and we carry that burden. We just weigh ourselves down, and we can become miserable. We can be discouraged, even depressed if you're not careful. You do it long enough. Let the Lord carry that burden. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Nothing we can do can change it anyway. Trust in the Lord that He'll guide and direct completely. And if you have a decision to make, put it in His hands and wait upon the Lord. Seek His direction for your life. Follow His ways. Yield to His will. I think if you do that, you'll find that He is more than able to guide you. And that He'll, like David, He'll put you in the place that He wants you. In the place that's best for you. The place that's best for your family. The place that you fit in. Exactly where God wants you. Just trust in the Lord. If there's anyone here that's an unbeliever, maybe there's someone here that you've never put your faith in Christ. So you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, but you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior for a few minutes, I'd like to speak to you concerning this subject. You know, the world is uncertain, as we've been talking about this morning. Everything can change suddenly, including your life on earth. And I don't say that to scare anybody, but that's the truth. I read where one man said, our lives are like are hanging by a string, by a thread, is the way he put it. And anything can change that at any moment. You know, our lives are fragile when you think about it. Nobody's guaranteed to live another day. We're not even guaranteed to make it through the next minute. God can call any one of us home or end the life of any one of us if He should choose to. And because death comes suddenly, we must be ready. We must be ready to face death. Now, I'm not going to attempt this morning to prove to you that there is life after death, because I cannot do it. I've never been there. I have no evidence of it as far as hard evidence. But I can tell you this, you cannot disprove me, or you cannot disprove the fact that there's life after death. Here's what we have. So if you're an unbeliever this morning, or if you're not sure of your salvation, let me give you something to think on. Here's what we have. We have God's Word, and then we have the choice whether to believe it or not. That's what we have, each one of us. We have the Word of God and the choice. Now, as far as the Word of God, it's accurate. I believe it's trustworthy. Reading it, studying it, comparing it to history, I believe the Bible is reliable. The Bible tells us of our sinful condition. You see, the Bible's not going to lie to you. It's not going to tell you, oh, everything's good, everything's fine. You just hang in there and you go from week to week and you're all right. No, the Bible says you're a sinner. You've sinned against God. You've made your mistakes. You've born with a sinful nature, but you've also chosen to sin against God. And that sin is sitting upon you like a burden. It's there. You're accountable for that sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the Bible also tells us about a Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to die for our sin. And then 3 days later, He arose to conquer death and the grave. And the Bible tells us, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the Bible tells us that there is a way to have forgiveness. There is a way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. See, we must repent and believe on Jesus Christ. So this morning, if there's anyone here without Christ, if they're unsure of their salvation, you can look to God for direction. You can look to His Word and see that there we find Jesus Christ is able to save and will forgive sinners that repent of their sin. Or you can look elsewhere if you choose to. That's your choice. Nobody's going to make anyone be saved. God doesn't do that. That's between you and God. And today there are many that are making that choice. They're turning away from God. They're discrediting His Word. They just don't want to believe. And so they're turning away from God. No wonder many are discouraged today. Think about this. There's nothing. When you turn away from God, what do you turn to? You turn to the world. And this world is uncertain. No wonder many are discouraged. No wonder many are struggling. Because they have nothing to hold on to. Nothing solid in this world. You know, Jesus Christ, the Bible describes Him as the rock. He's not going to move. He's firm. He's set. Once you trust in Christ, Things are settled. Now, we may get shaken on the rock a little bit. You know, the storms come and we may get a little bit shaken and move. But that rock is settled. We just cling to Jesus Christ. Hold on to Him. This morning, I encourage you, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to place your trust in the Lord. Place your trust in the Lord and look to Him as your Savior. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings that You have provided. And I thank You for this, from this verse we've read of David as he looked to You for his direction and for guidance. And I thank You that You answered his prayer, and I thank You that You've answered our prayers as well. And I pray to You as we have this time of invitation that You'll guide and direct. If You've worked in anyone's heart here this morning, that they'll get things settled with You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a few minutes. Piano is going to begin to play, and we're going to have a time of invitation. If God has worked in your heart here this morning in any way, we'd just like to give you an opportunity where you can seek Him in prayer. If you'd like to come down to the altars, you can come down and pray to the Lord here. You can pray right where you are. If you have questions concerning salvation, if you're here this morning, and as we went through this message, you began to be concerned about your salvation, about your soul, and you want to know more about salvation, please come down. Someone can take the Bible and show you from the Bible what salvation is and how you can know how to be saved. Maybe you already know what you need to do. If that's the case, please get that settled with the Lord this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a believer, and you're, like David, you're in a situation that's uncertain. Your direction, your future, you just don't know where to go, what to do. I encourage you this morning to go to the Lord, seek Him in prayer, seek His direction, and to be willing to wait for the Lord. Amen. We're going to close with a word of prayer this morning. It's good to see you out. Hope you have a good week. And once again, it's good to have our visitors with us. Hope and pray we've been a blessing to you this morning as well. We're going to close with a word of prayer. I'd like to ask Brother Chuck Garlington, would you please close our service with a word of prayer this morning?